When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening, everyone. Welcome to the 34th episode of the FPL Wire, powered by Dreamset Go. We are recording ahead of Game Week 36. I'm your host, Zofa. And I'm joined, as usual, by my co-host, Late Riser. How's it going, buddy?
Second last pod of the season before, I think, which is relevant to this season. How do you guys feel about that? I mean, we're on to episode 34 and we've done a few wiring up episodes on the side as well. How does it feel? I'm glad we started this. I'm so glad we started this. It feels nice to just do this here, especially in a season where it's been quite a shit season for me. So, yeah. And missed this guy who's in the bottom window out here in the last two pods. How you been, Bakar?
I've been good, man. I mean, it's been quite a journey. I've loved podding with you guys this season. And honestly, it's like the break you need when, especially when you have a poor week. Usually over the years, when I used to have a poor week, I just used to switch off, from FPL. But now I think this pod has been a very welcome breakaway for me to sort of recollect my thoughts heading into the next game week, because it's very important to sort of switch on and off when you should. So I'm very grateful to be on here with you guys, who've been very supportive throughout, regardless of how I've been doing poorly or greatly.
Yeah, I mean it's
whether nice. On and off the field.
It's been my worst season of my playing career, like by a distance, but I don't think I'm going to blame either of y'all for that. I think it's all been my shitty decision-making, but things have been looking good in the last four or five game weeks. I mean, I was 1.2 million sitting at 700K right now. I've taken minus 12 in the last two game weeks and all five of those transfers have paid off quite massively. I'm happy with that. I sold Bale, Kane and Reguilon this week. Got in Robertson, who else did I get? DCL and Bruno Cap this week. And yeah, everybody has returned who I got back in. All the three guys I sold have blanked. So I've gotten lucky with that, I think, because I thought Kane was very lucky to not have any points in that game against Leeds United. Excited. Free hit this week. Very excited. I don't know if the Aguero testimonial is going to happen from an FPL point of view. But yeah, looking forward to chatting with you guys. How was your week, Bakar?
My week was fairly average. It wasn't anything great. I'm on 61 points at the moment. I did not have Greenwood, unfortunately, and that's cost me big time. I remember picking Jota over Greenwood around 3 to 4 game weeks ago. I remember chatting to Zoff as well at the time. And at that time, it seemed like a very 50-50 decision. So much so that, Jota's numbers, I expected him to fare better. But somehow or the other, he hasn't been converting his chances while Greenwood has been very clinical. And then on top of that, he's had a triple game week. So, I mean, that's one decision which hasn't really worked for me over the past few weeks. But other than that, I got in Calvert-Lewin and Dinier this week. for Kane and Rudiger, so that's gone very well. I'm happy with the transfers I made, and I'm fairly well set up for next game week as well.
Our host here has had a really, really good week. His team has been doing well in both the competitions. Champions League pretty much sued up and Champions League final. And I hear you got a PlayStation 5 as well, so you've been spending your time playing that as well. Good week for Yusuf.
Good week. Absolutely 10 out of 10. Good week for all the results. West Ham lost, Leicester lost, Spurs lost. Looking good for top four now. I think it's pretty much in our hands.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I think the City game was the main one in terms of giving the others the chasing pack some hope.
I didn't expect us to win that game, I'd be honest, especially after Tuchel said that he's going to rotate players. When I saw the lineup, Alonso of all people scoring the winner, I didn't believe that happening.
But I was fairly confident Chelsea would get something out of the game after I saw City's lineup, because it was something he hadn't done previously as well. So I quite fancied your team's chances after that.
Yep, that penalty though, Aguero's penalty, that was... I did not expect him to...
That was infuriating as a Mendy non-order. Oh my goodness.
Mixed feelings over here as a Chelsea fan. As a Mendy
literally
non-order.
Gifted 11 points on a plate, Mendy.
I saw Pep's reaction to that penalty, and I was like, Aguero's not going to happen on the free hit.
No. The hat which he had tipped is firmly back on.
You never know, though. If he does give him that chance, I reckon Aguero's going to be very, very hungry.
I mean, 38, he's definitely going to play the last home game before the fans. But this 36 now, I'm sure Pep will just want to finally get it done.
Yeah. We'll talk about City. I think we've Bakker's got some very interesting City stats lined up for later. We can do the formalities now, Zaf.
Yes, let us do it. A quick word about our sponsors. Dreamset Go is a global portal for fans to gain access to sporting events around the world. Accommodation, flight tickets, hospitality, stadium visits, everything can be tailored exactly to your requirements. They also do celebrity experiences, which include masterclasses with your favorite sports celebrity or something as simple as birthday shoutouts. You can find links to the products in the description below. The FPL Wire is a part of the Fantasy Scout Network, and all stats used in this podcast are taken from the FFS members area. Please sign up if you haven't already.
It always gets me. It always gets me, this tone of yours. It's you can't, you don't change it ever.
It's almost if he's recorded it on a tape and just plays it in the same tone, the same volume every single week.
And it's such a difficult follow-up act to follow, because inside I want to chuckle, right? But I need to do my bit as...
Yeah, that's how I go first.
Anyway, a big thank you to OneFootball for sponsoring today's stream of the FPL Wire as well. This app is available on both Android as well as iOS, and it's completely free to download. Click on the link in the description below. You can follow news about your favorite teams as well as general news about the top five leagues. I think you want to be following the La Liga right now. It's got loads of stats about every game, including those relevant to us as fantasy managers, such as shots in the box, shots on target, and loads of other stats. In addition, you know, you have a lot of video clips where they're showing you lots of goals as well as player and manager interview snippets. So yeah, download this app. Also, if you guys don't already know, we've created an FPL Wire League where the manager of the week gets a shout out from one of the Dreamset Go celebrities. Now, this week's shout out, the winner this week, the shout out is pretty big. I mean, the winner wins a shout out from the Australian cricketer Mike Hussey. Mike Hussey, fondly known as Mike, is a former Aussie batsman known for his calm, collective, and composed playing style. He's nicknamed Mr. Cricket, and that's all you need to know about him. So yeah, especially the Aussies watching us, you want to try winning that shout out in game week 36. And in game week 37, it's a big one, especially those fans of Delhi Capitals. You're winning a shout out from Shreyas Iyer. Just taking you guys through the agenda for the pod today, we've got Bakker's stats. We're going to be talking about Manchester City and Sheffield United. After that, we are doing a position-wise rundown for the best picks for the run-in, which blank players to retain. That's a discussion we're going to be having. We're going to be talking about the home factor. We'll be having some free as well. After that, you have your usual fare. You have your hot fixtures, captains, teams, and Q&A. Bakker, the floor is yours. Before that, we've got 388 in the chat right now. So guys, it'd be great if you could just hit the like and subscribe button right now. Get those numbers up, because it really, really helps us. Bakker, on to you. Okay.
Yeah, sure. So this week I have some stats on the Man City midfielders. Firstly, I've compiled a comparison between Foden, Mahrez, De Bruyne and Gundogan on the basis of their last four Premier League starts. So now these starts are spread over a long period of time, given that Pep has been rotating like a madman in recent times. So, I mean, these go back as far as game week 26 in certain cases. So you can see the stats on the screen. I'll just quickly run you through them. For total shots, Mahrez and De Bruyne are joint top. Same applies for big chances. Mahrez and De Bruyne are hogging the majority of the big chances in the league. As far as chances created are concerned, De Bruyne is top again. And the same applies for big chances created. So what I've noticed from the comparison is that Mahrez and De Bruyne, they tend to be the biggest goal threats. But this is not taking into account that Mahrez will now be on penalties. So these numbers are slightly skewed because of the fact that De Bruyne has taken some penalties in this spell. The second point I'd like to make is that Foden, his stats, they look pretty encouraging as well, given the fact that he offers a bit of both in terms of assist potential and goal threat. So he can offer outstanding value heading into the run-in as well, because I expect all of these guys to perhaps start at least two of the next three games, given that Pep still, you know, has the league to win. The thing with Gundogan is that his numbers seem to have absolutely plummeted. He's by far the worst option among the four. He's had just the single big chance involvement in the league over the past four matches. And his chances created and shots are nothing to write home about either. He's averaging less than two shots per game. So, I mean, his numbers aren't that great anymore either. His purple patch is probably over. So, if...
I think Bakker also dropped.
If you look at Gundogan. Now, I run the same comparison on the basis of the last four UCL starts. Can you hear me, Zal?
Yes, now I can hear you. I dropped out there for a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
Now you're back.
So now I compare the four Man City midfielders on the basis of the four UCL starts, which I believe is more pertinent because these stats have been more recent. So for total shots, De Bruyne is top, but second in line is Foden, which...
Is Bakker gone again?
I think both of you guys are having hotspot issues.
But in the use of hogging the majority of the goal threat. Hello?
Sorry, could you repeat? I think we lost you there for the last 10 seconds. Something majority of goal threat before that.
Yeah, I'm saying
you
that,
can start with the UCL stats again, Bakker.
Yeah, sure. So over the last four UCL starts, Foden has been hogging the majority of the goal threat in terms of shots and big chances. In the league, Mahrez was top for goal threat, but I noticed that in the recent UCL matches, Foden is hogging the majority of the goal threat. He's level with De Bruyne for shots, but he's had the majority of the big chances come his way. In terms of chances created, Mahrez has the highest creativity and the highest number of big chances created as well. So the points to note here are that the similar trends we're witnessing with Foden and Mahrez, that they're hogging the majority of the goal threat as compared to De Bruyne. While Gundogan, he's had no big chances, no big chance created. So he's had little big chance involvement in the UCL as well. So similar trends are being witnessed. Newcastle, I've noted, they're conceding an abnormal amount of big chances down their right flank. In the last six matches, they're top four big chances conceded on the right. And the same applies when I extend the sample to the calendar year. So to put things into context, Newcastle have conceded 34% more chances down their right as compared to the left this season, 147 compared to 109. So what I'm trying to say here is that Foden should get plenty of joy because he's going to play down that left-hand side, he's in prime form and he's well-placed to exploit Newcastle's weakness down the right flank.
Got it.
I think going to...
For Newcastle?
At the back?
Yeah. Sorry?
Who plays on the right flank for Newcastle? Just wondering why they have so much of a lopsided thing in the defense. That just tells me how Newcastle defense, I haven't even looked there this season. I have no idea. I think at one point...
Yeah, I have no idea who plays on the right as well. Is it Mankio?
I think it used to be Lewis at one point, but I think after that he's dropped out.
Yeah, never looked at those defenders ever this season.
So where do you pull these stats out from?
Exactly.
UCL?
I mean, Dummett was playing on the left this week. I'm pretty sure it was Mankio. No, it wasn't Mankio, actually. It was someone else.
Where do you pull these stats from for UCL?
I used the FootMob app.
Okay.
And SofaScore as well.
Something to note.
FootMob is brilliant this season. The amount of additions that they've made, absolutely. I mean, this
but
is not even an ad.
Sponsored by One Football.
Yeah. Someone in the chat is saying so we have different opinions. Actually, there are a lot of people who are saying Murphy. There are some people who are saying Kraft.
It's a very irrelevant conversation. I reckon.
It's incredible. I watched the whole game against Leicester, and I've forgotten who's playing right back. It's honestly, that's the amount of attention I pay to the Newcastle defense.
All three of us are so confident.
I literally watched the whole game.
Guys, I reckon we should move on now.
Yeah.
We've got some stats here for Man City mids in the second half of the season as well, because I think they've adopted this system for the second half of the season. So what you see here is the stats since game week 20, and these are the stats per 90. So again, like Bakker was comparing previously, we're comparing Foden versus Mahrez versus De Bruyne versus Gundogan. Now, when it comes to shots in the box, Foden and Mahrez are right up there. Both are shooting in the box more than twice per 90 minutes. KDB is at 1.55 and Gundogan is at 1.34. Now, what I find interesting is despite having the least amount of shots in box, Gundogan has had the highest number of big chances, which is 0.67. So I don't know if penalties has something to do with this. The other three don't have a very high big chance per 90 number. When it comes to shots, De Bruyne is leading. Now, what I make of that is that De Bruyne is taking a lot of shots from outside the box, because the shots in the box per 90 is 1.55 and the shots per 90 is 3.11. And when it comes to creativity, De Bruyne is right up there, followed by Mahrez, followed by Gundogan, De Bruyne is right up there. Second, we have Foden, then we have Gundogan, and then we have Mahrez. I mean, what inference do you draw from this, Pucker? Are you looking at any of these players long-term? Now, there's a separate conversation to have, because there's a free-hit conversation and there's a conversation whether these guys are worth bringing in at the moment. Either of you considering bringing in a Man City mid at the moment?
Mahrez is on my radar. Mahrez versus Son is a decision I have to take, because I think 36 and 38, I'm confident about Mahrez starting. 37, not so much, because it's all about, I think, 7 days, right?
Correct.
There are three games of 7 to 8 days, but I know FPL Pringle, I think, or somebody, some Man City fan on Twitter was mentioning Mahrez is the kind of guy who needs rhythm. And I thought it was interesting. He didn't come on at all against Chelsea, right? He made subs, but Mahrez wasn't one of them. So he needs
Correct.
To give Mahrez some minutes. And I think he's absolutely nailed on that right side for the final.
Got it. Yeah, I think he's nailed on as well. I would be considering Mahrez as a player to get in right now as well. I think Mahrez and Foden are nailed on my free hit, because when you look at the numbers between Mahrez, Foden and De Bruyne, there's not much of a difference between what De Bruyne offers and what these other two guys are offering. And that helps you get a couple of more big hitters in the free hit draft as well. I'm actually thinking he's a very good shout as a captaincy option this week as well.
Because Brighton now have nothing to play for. Very much in the captaincy shout.
Newcastle,
nothing to play for.
And Wilson's not there as well, right, this week. So it just makes that team a little bit weaker. I think City are going to be dominating 70% of the possession. And Mahrez is a little bit of a flat track bully. He likes playing against opposition who are sitting back. And he's the kind of player they go to, you know, because he's the one who's got that X factor and dribbling ability as well.
Yep.
What do you reckon, Bakker? Are you looking at...
Do you think that he will still start? Because I think the next two games, if United drop or lose either of those games, City clinch the title before that Newcastle game, right? But he's going to start regardless, you'd think.
Yeah, I think the main starting team that you're expecting to start in the final, I have them down as starting in 36 and 38.
Same, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bakker?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I'm very certain that Foden and Mahrez are going to start in 36 and 38, and they're probably going to sit in 37 versus Brighton. So on a free hit, both of them would be absolutely nailed in my team. And I might have even considered a triple up with De Bruyne had I been on free hit, actually. But other than that, I mean, the question which is facing me is whether to sell Bruno for one of them, because this is tough. Because I also have to look into consideration, and I'm sure this is the case with a lot of other managers who don't have the free hit available as well. You know, whether to sell Bruno for a City mid right now, because Bruno has Fulham in 37, and I And I will bring up some stats on Sheffield United later on as well. But once a team gets relegated, I mean, I highly question their morale, and I fully expect United in this form to beat Fulham quite comfortably. So I'm sure that Bruno next week will be a great option. So this is what I have to decide between, you know, whether selling Bruno is for the City Mets is worth it.
Yeah. If you're talking about, I mean, we'll get right into it. If you're talking about for people like you who don't have a free hit, in my opinion, I'd have Spurs above Man City because I reckon they don't play the 37 game, the main starters. I have them down for playing two out of the next three games. And I don't think that's the going to be the case with the Spurs assets. We're going to be talking about that later. That's where I am. Zoff, a couple of people in the chat are mentioning that your volume's a little soft. So if you can just take
pump
it up
it
a notch.
Okay.
Yeah, pump it up a little. So yeah, that's that. We should mention, though, that, you know, on Manchester City's website, before this game week, they mentioned that De Bruyne wasn't fully fit. So that's something worth monitoring, because if De Bruyne isn't fully fit, I think that makes Gundogan an option as well. What do you reckon? Kurt?
Historically, you know, Gundogan's numbers without De Bruyne have been great, but over recent times, even without De Bruyne, his numbers have been very, very poor. I mean, I recall the Villa game where De Bruyne wasn't playing and Gundogan hardly had a shot, hardly created any chance. So I'm not sure. It's just the fact that I think that Gundogan's personal purple patch is over. So even without De Bruyne, I don't think I'd be considering him.
I agree.
I think there are better options at that price.
Totally agree.
So where we are at, if you're looking to get people in or on the free hit, I think Mahrez is number one at the moment for everybody.
Foden just number because two.
Yes, I agree. Because of penalties. I mean, I don't think there's much between Mahrez and Foden stats, but penalty swings it. So Mahrez is number one and Foden is number two.
Would he get in a defender? I'm not so... Newcastle might actually go for it since they have nothing to lose.
I would have been worried about it if Wilson was there, because he's the one who I think can run behind that defense and trouble them, you know. Now they just have St. Max, who's going to be slightly dangerous. So I think the chances of City having clean sheets have gone after that Wilson injury.
Fair enough. And Newcastle concede a lot from set pieces, so Mr. Stones could be a decent shout.
I would probably have a City defender on a free hit, because, you know, it's partly due to the fact that the other options on the free hit in terms of defense don't seem too appealing. I mean, there's Trent and Digne who are the only obvious picks. Other than that, I'd struggle to find
Dallas.
A defender. I mean, Dallas is Burnley, and I'm pretty sure that Burnley will score. So so that is why I think that going for a City defender probably makes sense.
Cool.
Yeah.
Should we move on to the Sheffield bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Go for it, Baka.
So the second stat I've compiled for you guys is Sheffield United. I've compared their performances under Wilder with their performances after he's been sacked. So as you can see in the data shown on your screen, Sheffield United's big chances conceded per game have risen from 2.41 under Wilder to 3.38 post-Wilder. And so has the average XG conceded, which has risen from 1.53 to 2.41. Now, these decline and in stats, they're very, very alarming, considering the fact, you know, when you put it into context, Sheffield United have conceded 27 big chances ever since Wilder has left in eight games. So that's over three big chances conceded per game. And only two other teams have conceded more than 20 big chances during the spell. We have seen over recent weeks that the likes of Bale, Benteke, Nacho, Vardy, Lacazette, they've all already hauled against Sheffield United. So I don't think the strategy of going Sheffield chasing is a bad idea. I mean, even from now on, and I was discussing this with Zoff the other day as well, even if you just primarily focus your transfers on getting in attackers who play Sheffield United, I think that has a lot of upside. I mean, you look at the likes of Calvert-Lewin this week, Saint-Maximin next week, and then Chris Wood, who's the favorite of the pod in game week 38. I mean, would be fitting to end the season getting Wood in game week 38.
You want to do that one?
I was just waiting for it. Baka, did you have that plan? It would be fitting. It would be very fitting. Oh my God. I don't know how we're going to recover after that one. Oh, sure. Okay. Zoff, I don't know what to say, Zoff. Your thoughts?
Bakkar has to continue. I need to.
I'm done. I don't have anything else to say. I'm done.
No, yeah. I put out a tweet about this, and I was only half joking at that time.
My God,
there is some merit in doing it. We saw it with Huddersfield also at one point. Now
sorry, guys, I just can't stop right. My God, that was great, Bakkar. That was absolutely great. I mean, hats off for you to pull that one off. Well, if you planned that, I tip my hat to you. That was brilliant.
I actually winked when you see the recording. I actually winked before I said it.
Brilliant.
So yeah. Go on.
So, who do you guys have from your teams? What's your plans regarding to Sheffield United chasing? Be careful, see Sheffield United. Are we going to get trolled massively?
Yeah, I have. Who do they play this week? I'm on three hits, so I've got DCL this week as
and
well.
Dean, and right? You have DCL and Dean, I'm guessing.
I don't know about Dean. I'll talk to you guys about that with my free hit draft at the moment, because there are some permutations and combinations if I want to. Afford everybody, and I do have Chris Wood in my team at the moment. He's sitting on my bench. So I have Rafinha as my fifth midfielder as well. So I probably can afford to bench him in game week 37 and play him in game week 38. So yeah, I'm pretty comfortable doing that.
I don't have anybody. I'm definitely getting Calvert-Lewin in for the next two fixtures. Game week 38, I can probably bench him.
So yeah, I feel bad for Sheffield United. I think they can. I'm just actually feeling bad for them, and I hope that these three games end fast and they can just go back to a reset mindset, because it won't be easy to after having such a miserable second half of the season to go back and find.
If you ask me, they're not even a championship level side anymore. I'm being a little bit harsh, and I apologize to Sheffield United fans, but having watched a little bit of the championship, they play like how they did in the second half, especially after Wilder left. They're going to get relegated to League One. Really, yeah,
Wilder was Sheffield United, and I think they just need to get that appointment that they make when it comes to the next manager is just so
crucial. Can't be the guy they have right now, Paul Heckingbottom. And I hear Wilder's apparently being tipped for the West Brom job.
It's a good shot. I won't be surprised if he's back. I rate Chris Wilder.
Definitely. I mean, you can see what he achieved last year. He definitely overachieved to an extent. But you see, players...
I was very surprised with his transfer strategy. His recruitment was very bizarre. I mean, spending so much money on Brewster and not playing him. And then, I mean, all of their injuries this season, they lost to O'Connell. Egan was injured for a large part of the season.
Egan and O'Connell. Exactly. So I
would have expected, you know, I was reading up on this actually a few weeks ago. And Sheffield United have spent, you know, more money than most of the teams in the bottom half, so you'd expect them to have fared better. But I mean, the recruitment has been an absolute disaster. Ramsdale has been very poor as well. So I mean, I would have expected him to bring in some defensive reinforcements, but that didn't happen. I was very surprised.
Yeah,
it's also a little bit of caliber reverting to the mean as well, right? Because they won so many of those close ties last season 1-0, and they've lost as many games 1-0 this season as well. So I just think it's a little bit of reverting to the mean as well, which has happened with Sheffield United. And, you know, when you're a club that's getting promoted and that's on a very, very tight budget, if you're spending 40, 50 million, which they did on both Berg as well as Brewster, you can't afford to get it wrong. And that's what's been the problem for them, in addition to the injuries as well.
Yeah, so lack of crowd also has been a big factor for them.
Yeah. Somebody actually here in the chat mentioned, you know, because you're looking to bring DCL in, what about Everton's home form? Mihir, I wouldn't personally worry about it too much, because they play Sheffield United in 36, and in 37, the home game is going to be in front of around 8,000, 10,000 fans. So I think that completely changes, and we're going to be talking about that later. But with the home fans in play, I wouldn't be worried about 37 in Everton.
We have a lot to talk about that section. So
I'd like to address this one point regarding Everton's home form as well. I tweeted this a few days ago earlier as well, that... That Everton, they've actually lost, you know, three of their past six games before the West Ham game actually happened. So they lost three of the past six games, but DCL's form hasn't been affected. He scored like four times in that run, and he stopped for big chances over those, you know, six matches. So it's not as if DCL isn't getting the chances. You know, we've got to separate these two things. You know, Everton's form as a team and DCL's form are two separate entities, in my opinion, because DCL is still posting those numbers regardless of how Everton have been doing at home. His numbers at home have been pretty decent as well.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, I think a couple of pods ago, we were having this conversation about picking between Wood and Calvert-Lewin. Turns out both were, whichever route you went, both would have been all right. Both have done fairly well.
Right. Do we jump in? Next section, targets for the run-in?
Yep. All right. So now with three game weeks to go, we're going to be talking about the targets for the run-in. And I think we're going to combine this section with the home games as well in 37 and 38, because I think it only makes sense to look at both of them together. Now, we'll go position by position. If people have a really solid team and they can afford to, and they own Emi Martinez. Emi Martinez's last three games are Palace away, then Spurs away, and then Chelsea at home. Would you look at making sort of like a fixing your defense sort of change there and maybe go for somebody like a Mesdier?
I won't. I just don't think there's any upside in changing the keeper right now. Honestly, I won't do it.
Wouldn't bother.
All right, cool. So let's not waste time talking about the keepers, because I'm on the same page as well. I just don't see much upside in chasing a goalkeeper transfer. When it comes to defenders, though, West Brom, the four teams I reckon that are worth targeting that have good fixtures until the end of the season, there's Liverpool, there's Leeds United, there's West Ham, and then there is Spurs, I believe, who have a good end of the season. I think Dallas has to be the number one option if you're looking to get somebody in defense and you don't own Dallas.
Trent,
Dallas would be one. Sorry, Zoff.
Surely you'll put Trent over Dallas, right? If you're not looking at money.
Yeah, if you're not looking at money, yes, Trent over Dallas. I agree. But I'm guessing most people own Trent at the moment. Just stating out the pictures as well, in Liverpool in 36, they play West Brom away. They play Burnley away in 37. And in 38, they play their home game in front of the fans against Crystal Palace. So those fixtures look absolutely good. If you don't have some Liverpool positions filled, I think that's where you prioritize your transfers at the moment.
So you're talking about
Leeds United have Burnley away, Southampton away, and West Brom at home. Now, Burnley and Southampton aren't nailed on clean sheets against at the moment. So I can see a point where maybe Trent is above Dallas as an option.
Correct. I'd like to bring Sufyan into the conversation here, because his numbers going forward have been really impressive as well. He's particularly in terms of creating big chances. He's right up there with the likes of Trent when you look at his creativity numbers in recent weeks. So I think he deserves a mention as well. You know, Brighton, West Brom, Southampton. I'm sure there's still a haul in him till the end of the season.
So close to scoring against Everton.
So close. I don't know what Bowen was doing after that. I mean, that was as easy a tap in as it gets. And I was watching the replay, and it looked like he was trying to pass it to somebody. But yeah, it's something I hadn't clocked, Bakar, which you mentioned. Yeah, Supal is a great budget option for the.
And the thing I notice is that, you know, whether they're playing three at the back or four at the back, he still equally is attacking. It's not as if his numbers, you know, they get worse when they're playing forward the back. He still equally is attacking. And now that Cresswell isn't playing, I'm pretty sure that Sufal will be responsible for the majority of the chances that West Ham create in the coming weeks.
But the clean sheets are a problem still, right?
Yes. Defensively, they will continue to struggle. But particularly that last game against Southampton, that's where I think there might be a haul in them.
Right.
I think that there's not much discussion here. I think all three of us agree that if you don't have a defender in place, Trent, Dallas, and Sufal in that order would be.
Let me ask you about Dean. What about Dean for just keeping 36 and 37 in mind? For 38, let's assume they're not going to be. The general trend is there are not many clean sheets in game week 38 anyway. What do you think about 36 Sheffield United and 37 Wolves for Dean?
I think it depends on the state of your team. If your team is in a good place and you think you can afford to maybe spend a transfer in game week 38 to change Dean or figure that out, I don't even mind playing Dean against City because he's on set pieces. I don't like that. I don't mind that as a shot at all because he's very much capable of double-digit hauls in both the next games, especially how Everton have been performing defensively of late. I don't mind that shot.
Yeah.
I'd probably have him above Sufal, but not above Dallas.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. I'm still not convinced on Sufal. If you ask me to pick, let's say, my top three defensive targets for the run-in, they would probably be Trent, Dallas, and Dean.
I agree.
Yeah, Dini is a good shout as well. Dini is a great shout, actually.
Anybody else? Wolves,
I mean, they can't really.
I mean, the other ones you could say possibly. I see Spurs, but then I don't. They don't fill me with confidence defensively. They could concede to both Wolves and Villa.
No. I wouldn't trust Spurs defense at all. I've been a regular owner for a while, and they're just not good defensively.
I mean, there's other than that, I don't think there's anyone. I mean, Cancelo is probably going to get the Everton game. I would have thought, and maybe even the Brighton game.
I don't think he's a first choice anymore. Earlier in the season,
he's probably going to get two games. So if you have him, then Hold. You can afford to keep him. But other than that, I don't see too many defenders who look obvious.
I mean, worth mentioning that, you know, people that are on an absolute tight budget and want to remove some money out of the defense, I think going for Struik, 4.0 million base budget defender, so that you can put more money in attack, I think is a good option as well, because they've got Burnley away, Southampton again, West Brom at home in 38.
But Phillips
is back fit, and Rodrigo is back fit, and Rafinha is back fit. So that Leeds United team is looking like full strength at the moment. So I like that as a shout.
I'm not convinced Struik will start when Phillips is in the team.
You think Cock moves back in defense?
Cock moves back. Cooper, if Cooper also, right?
Cooper was fit this week and he played Struik, and he's been performing really well.
Performance-wise, well. Definitely, but Cooper being the captain and all that stuff, I just don't think it's that much. I wouldn't waste a transfer there, to be honest.
No, I'm just saying if somebody wants to remove money.
Yeah, if you need money, then he's definitely a good option. But in that case, maybe Phillips. I like Phillips also in that sense, 4.1 if you don't have the third.
Yeah, Phillips, he's probably going to be good value. Yeah, good shot.
I wouldn't go with Phillips because I feel like Liverpool have a lot of goals in them in the past last three fixtures. And I currently own Trent and Robertson. And I'm not feeling happy that I've snookered myself into getting two defenders from Liverpool. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If people are worried about his nailed onness, even Ailing at 4.4 is a shout, you know. Just
is he going to get an attacking return before the end of the season? Remember when Ailing versus Dallas was a thing?
Yeah, I remember when it was.
It was actually. I think the conversation was actually relevant, you know, because we didn't expect Dallas to play so many of the games in midfield. I mean, I remember researching on this, and last season Dallas played like 5 or 6 games in total in midfield in the championship. So our discussion at the start of the season was primarily based on the fact that, you know, we expected both of them to play fullback in the majority of the games, which is fine. And I'm pretty sure that had Dallas stayed left back and Ailing played right back, Ailing would have done better defensively, attacking-wise. But it hasn't really happened.
Also, on the point of Phillips, I don't know how serious Kabak's injury is at the moment. And, you know, I mean, this week they played Reece Williams in defense. But I don't know if... I'd be very happy if they play Reece Williams in defense against Man United. But I don't know if I trust that Liverpool defense without Kabak at the moment. It just becomes a little weaker. So that is also something that's in my mind. Whereas Leeds are getting their most important players back. So it's also something worth considering.
Right. Midfielders.
Yep. Midfielders. I think there's a flurry of midfield options. I think let's do a premium bracket first and then we move to budget bracket.
Yes. Otherwise, it'll be... There's really too many discussions. So top three premiums first.
Okay. Zoff, you pick us off.
I mean, ultimately the debate really comes down to within your Spurs players and your City players. Right? Who else do we have as... We'll talk about Man United assets, whether we should retain them in the next section.
Liverpool players.
Liverpool players, right. I mean, besides Salah, it's only... I'm assuming Salah most of us already have, right? He's not really a target per se. So let's talk about Mane.
I thought it was one of the... best performances I've seen from him against Southampton. He looked really, really lively. It was the first time, I don't know what his movement was or his tirelessness was. He looked like, you know how you mentioned a lot of times, he had that swagger back. In my opinion, I have him as probably the best punt to take until the end of the season. I'm very likely going with him on free hit as well. I think he's just going to explode now because he looked really, really good in that Southampton game.
That's interesting. Pakkar, thoughts on Mane?
Yeah, I think he's a great shot as well. So over the past 6 matches, he's top in the league for big chance involvements. Now, his numbers are right up there, you know, needless to say, given how many big chances he's getting. But the fixtures, I mean, that's what swings it for me. West Brom away, Burnley away, Burnley, we've noticed, you know, their defensive numbers this season haven't been as great, you know, particularly in the back end of the season, they seem to enjoy themselves. They're not exactly, you know, the Burnley four, which focus on defense. They're not exactly a defense first team anymore. So I think that's a good fixture for Mane as well. And then, you know, last year, the season against Palace. So, I mean,
Bakar, I agree with him.
He's the defense we need to make up ground.
We know that Liverpool have the good fixtures. The question is, do you think it's worth paying 6 million more than Jota and maybe compromising another mid wicketer and go for Mane as a differential? That's the main question.
This is a big question, but the thing is that if I was buying someone now, I don't think I'd buy Jota, because Jota seems slightly at a greater risk of rotation than Mane. And you know, even if he decides to play four attackers against the weaker teams, that's still a guess game, right? That's still guesswork. If I was picking one, I'd rather go for Mane because he's assured of starts.
Yep. And you're essentially looking for, I think he's a decent captaincy option as well. You know, if you're looking to chase in the league as well, I think he's one of the best options out there. Now, a lot of people are coming and telling me that your Mane is as much of a rotation to risk as Jota is, and they're going to continuously change. I don't think that's the case. I think Liverpool have four games now, and they don't have any cup games to play otherwise. And all four games are like cup finals if Liverpool do have to have a shot at the Champions League. So I'd be very surprised after that performance if I see Mane getting rested in the West Brom game. Okay. I don't think that rotation is going to happen.
Right. Should we move on to now the Spurs mids? Who do you guys prefer from Bale and Son?
I mean, that Leeds United game, Bale is like Jekyll and Hyde, isn't it, when it comes to home and away. He didn't look on the money at all. And in my head, I was like, yeah, Bale's not an option on the free hit. And then I went ahead and looked at Bale's stats when it comes to home games. And he scored 9 goals this season. All of his 9 goals have come at home. His last 5 home appearances, Sheffield United, at home, he scored a hat-trick. Against Southampton, he scored a goal. Against United, he just played 8 minutes as a sub. Against Palace, he got a brace. And against Burnley, he got a brace. So in his last 5 home appearances, he's got 8 goals. In his last 4 home starts, he's got 8 goals. There's a game against Wolves this week, and I'm considering getting him back in my free hit because I looked at those home stats. And then in Gaming 37, it's the first time Bale is going to meet those Spurs fans and playing in front of the crowds. I think he'll be pumped up to put on a show in that game against Aston Villa as well. So I think he's a good option. Not saying Son is a bad option. I was worried that Son, you know, would be on last legs and he'd been tired, but he's looking very sharp as well.
I don't think you can read. I understand what you're saying about the stats versus home versus, but I don't think you can read into that Leeds game, because that game he was getting completely overloaded on that side. So I wouldn't read too much into that. Do you think he starts all the remaining games?
I think he does. He's not going to be playing Lucas Moura or something. I think he's going to be starting, especially after his home record. I'd fancy him to start. I think he's a good differential. But I don't think Son is a bad option.
What do you think about double up, getting both?
I think Kane is essential. Golden boot chasing Harry Kane is a very bad bet to make against. And
it's interesting, honestly, because I know Bakar sold Kane. That's why I'm leading into this.
I sold Kane as well, and he's the one I'm going to look to get back in Game Week 37, because I just have too many memories of a golden boot chasing Harry Kane, and Salah's on his heels. So I won't be surprised if we see Kane getting a brace or a hat-trick very soon. I don't think you compromise on Kane at all.
Mm. Bakar, where do you stand on the Spurs attackers?
Also, just wanted to actually add this point, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Kane is leaving Spurs this at the end of the season. You know, I think this is one of his last chances to get a big team move, and he'd probably want to put on a show in his last 3 games for Spurs also, if that is the case. So it's another factor that plays in your mind as well.
Yep. Bakar?
So I've done plenty of research into this argument between Son and Bale. So I was looking at Bale's numbers, you know, and I noticed that each one of his 9 goals in the league this season, they've come against the bottom half teams at home. You know, now that looks particularly promising for him, given that, you know, Spurs have Wolves and Villa coming up, both of them at home. And these are exactly the kind of matches that Bale has, you know, done well in. So I have run a comparison between Son and Bale. in these matches, which Spurs have played against the bottom half teams this season. And these are matches which Kane, Bale and Son have all started. I mean, I have used this comparison because I expect the trend to follow and continue in the next two games because they're bottom half games as well and they're against weaker opposition at home. So in these kind of matches, shots inside the box, Son is at 2, Bale is at 10. Big chances, Son is at 1, Bale is at 5. Chances created, Son is at 14, Bale is at 5. Big chances created, Son is at 5, Bale is at 1. So now what that tells me is that in these kind of games, Son is going to take up more of a creative role and Bale is going to be the goal scorer. So if I was picking one right now, I would definitely go with Bale because I think he has the higher upside. And I don't think he's particularly at risk of being benched as well because these are exactly the kind of games he's done well in.
What do you reckon?
I think Bale will play all the remaining games. And it's interesting, I've heard rumors that he's already renewed his deal for next year. They're going to keep him on loan for another year. It's not confirmed yet. It's from one of the Spurs ITK accounts on Twitter, which means that the general feel around the club is good, that Bale is going to stick around. So, but the thing, I can't really split the two very easily because there's a feeling of a comfort blanket with Son, right? He does take a lot of set pieces. He feels more nailed for 90 minutes.
Yeah, that's a big factor because Bale is very likely going to be subbed in the 65th or the 70th minute. Son is going to give you 20 more minutes, more likely. So let's rank these premium midfielders. Let's put the City midfielders in consideration.
Yes,
as
absolutely.
Well.
We have to put the City midfielders in there as well.
When we spoke about them, so let's not talk about them. Zoh, why don't you rank the premium midfielders, top three? And let's assume that Salah is a no-brainer. He has to be in the team.
Son, Mahrez, Bale.
Bakar?
I'd probably go Bale, Mahrez, Son.
All right. Interesting. I have Mane number one because I think he's got the three premium, like three fixtures that are gold.
And I actually have Mane ahead of Son, actually. Yeah, I'd have Mane ahead of Son.
Yeah, Mane would be number one for me. At number two, I'd have Son because I think he's going to get more minutes than Bale. It's between Son and Bale, whoever you fancy. But I think those 20-25 minutes at the end are going to be mattering. At number three, at Mahrez, because I don't think he's going to start three games. I think he's going to start two.
Correct. I'm actually thinking of getting both Son and Bale this week. I'll talk to you guys a bit later about that.
Triple up on Spurs attack.
Yep.
I wouldn't. I just trust Liverpool and City more.
I already have three Liverpool slots taken. Now that's a problem. That's going to be a case for most people. A lot of the Liverpool slots, most people already booked in. Because especially with the double, right? Most people would have had three Liverpool on the double anyway.
Fair enough.
Goff, are you ignoring DCL this week?
No, he's probably coming in for Iheanacho. Son, Bale and this one. Calvert-Lewin is probably my planned three transfers.
Nice.
All right. Forwards. I think, again, very interesting discussion. Because, let's move to the mid-price midfielders as well. Because I think Rafinha is in the conversation. Lingard is in the conversation as well. A lot of people are thinking about selling Lingard at the moment, and I don't think it's a good idea because Everton correctly assessed West Ham's weakness and said, you know what, have the ball and come at us because we are happy to play counter, and West Ham's strength is to counter, which I think they will get to use in the games against Brighton as well as Southampton at home. And I think these games suit Jesse Lingard. So if you're a little worried about Lingard's numbers going down, I don't think it's a good idea to sell him at this stage. I think the next three games, I fancy Lingard to do well because the games and the oppositions.
I totally agree with that. And they still have, even though they might be effectively out of Champions League space, they still have Europa League to play for. That race is still quite close. And that Everton has come quite close to West Ham now with that result last week.
Yep. And then Rafinha is obviously...
Right. Let's just do the rankings real quick. I think I would be going... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to bring up this conversation regarding Lingard because I have some numbers in this as well. A lot of people expect this game against Brighton to be easy given that Dunk will be missing. Welkman is a huge doubt. But I was looking at some of the numbers that Brighton have had in games without Dunk this season. So Dunk has missed three games this season between game week 6 and 8 against Burnley, West Brom and Spurs. Brighton's defensive numbers over that run and their season averages in general, they aren't too dissimilar. So for example, in those games without a Dunk, Brighton have conceded one big chance per game on average, and their average XG conceded per game is 0.9. So when I look at those numbers with Dunk in the team, their big chances conceded per game are 1.3 and their average XG conceded is 0.9. So the numbers are pretty much the same. I don't think the fact that, you know, Dunk will miss the game will all of a sudden mean that Lingard will haul big. I don't think that's going to be the case. And Lingard's numbers, they've been, you know, on the decline as well. So I was looking at his numbers. So from game week 22 to 31, where he was, you know, on his prime and on his peak, he was averaging 44 minutes per shot inside the box. That has now plummeted over the last four matches to 120 minutes per shot in the box. Minutes for a big chance has gone down from 160 minutes per big chance to 358 minutes per big chance. He's averaging, you know, less penalty area touches as well. So initially when he was doing well, he was averaging 23 minutes per penalty area touch, but over the past four matches, he's averaging 45 minutes per penalty area touch. So he's dropping deep to get the ball. I don't think this game against Brighton will be easy for Lingard. I think it's probably going to be another blanker. I don't think he's going to haul big.
Bakker, you need to give context to those stats though, because in the last four games, he played Newcastle. Newcastle were happy to give the ball to West Ham and say attack, because we know you like to counter. Chelsea absolutely bossed the game against West Ham. Burnley, again, were happy to let West Ham, you know, have the ball. And Everton as well, they sat deep. And I don't think that the next two games, out of the next three, the Brighton and the Southampton game, are going to have the same narrative. But I just think it's about the matchup more than the
I think Brighton will have the majority of the ball against West Ham.
Exactly. And that suits West Ham, because West Ham like to counter. So I think it works in Lingard's favour. That's all.
Could happen.
Yeah,
I think Declan Rice being back will be a huge factor also, because like you said, Lingard is visibly dropping deep. I've seen that while watching the matches, and Rice will help that.
Yeah, he's dropping deep because the opposition is sitting back, right? So nobody else is taking the creative impetus. Correct. So Lingard is coming back and then trying to get back in the ball now. Against
there's
Brighton,
someone in the chat who's asking, is Lingard worth getting in now if you don't have him? I don't think so.
I think he is. I think he's under it.
Because you look at the fixtures. The fixtures are good. After Brighton, you have West Brom and Southampton. So if you're looking for a midfield target, I think he's still at 6.5-ish. He's still good value.
And Brighton are exactly the kind of team who will want to hawk the ball. And they do have those errors in defense, you know. So, yeah. I still wouldn't have him over Rafinha. But there is a little bit of a disclaimer that I want to add, which is Bielsa's comments this week after the game. He was asked if Rafinha and Calvin Phillips were close to making the starting 11 now. And he said no, because Rafinha hadn't played in a while and Phillips only returned to training prior to the game. But, I mean, logic tells me that if he played 30 minutes in that game against Spurs, he should be starting in the next game. So, I'll be waiting to watch the...
I'm confident he'll start now, because, in fact, this is something else somebody pointed out also. Like, Bielsa likes his players to have 1 week of training before chucking them into the starting 11.
No, but this was post-match. The comment.
Correct. So my point is now he would have had this whole week of training. So I think this weekend, 36, he should be safe to start.
Yeah, it's what I had assumed, but I found that comment a little odd. So just wait for his press conference as well.
Definitely. Right. Yeah. Let's just do the rankings then. Rafinha, Lingard, and the third one, I was just having a look. I'm struggling to pick a third.
Pereira,
he has a blank this week. No, he does not.
Jack Grealish?
Grealish? He has Grealish. I don't know.
Dean Smith mentioned is actually he trained with the team this week. So
anything Dean Smith says.
No, but I'm expecting him to start against Palace. I think he also needs to, because I think Grealish
Euro,
will...
right.
Euro, right? So he needs to play these two or three games. There's even a little bit of a theory going around that even Van Dijk might start Van Dijk. As his first, you know, might start maybe the last or the second last game.
What is Foden's price?
6 million.
Yeah, so Foden would be my third, I think.
Yeah, it's a great shot for a third option, actually.
Yeah, I agree.
It's Rafinha.
I'd have Foden first, Rafinha second, Lingard third.
For me, it's Rafinha, Lingard, and Foden in that order.
Yep, so I think we both have the same order, Pran.
All right. Now, I think the big conversation is with regards to the striker, because I think most people are going to be going off Ian Archer. And we actually had four strikers, but we just gotten news, I think, a couple of hours ago that actually somebody in the chat pointed out, what about St. Max as an option? Because his last two fixtures are against Fulham, I believe, and Sheffield United,
yeah.
Great option.
I still wouldn't have him above the three we mentioned.
No. I'd put him out in fourth over there.
Bakker?
Yeah, I think he's probably going to be fourth on my list as well.
If Wilson was fit, maybe, but I think it's just too much onus on one guy to, you know, stretch the defense. So, yeah.
I think they're literally going to be on the beach now, though.
Yeah. What about Saka? He's got a blank this game, but in 37 and 38, Palace and Brighton, he was great in that game against West Brom. You saw the highlights. He played at left back, and he was still creating chance after chance after chance against West Brom. And I think he's going to be starting the last two games. A decent punt. But again, he wouldn't... the top three budget picks are the ones we mentioned, I reckon.
Correct. Forwards, yeah. Let's move on to the forwards. This is the most difficult section to pick. Obviously, let's not talk about Kane. I think Kane is pretty much in another league of his own. So
It's about the budget forwards as a replacement to Iheanacho. That's the conversation we need to have.
Correct.
And I think the three in contention are Bamford, Antonio, and DCL.
Yeah.
And Wood, so, Chris Wood also.
And Chris Wood also. So, Bakar, why don't you talk about the strikers?
I think I'd have DCL first on my list. His numbers are just too good to pass up. And I think that against Sheffield and Wolves, who practically have nothing left to play for, I think he'd be my first choice. I think he's easily sellable in 38 as well. And, you know, in Givi 38, you can look at someone like Wood or even... Wilson, I would have said, but Wilson doesn't have a good fixture. Bamford, in 38 for DCL. So for the next two fixtures alone, I think DCL is the one to have, and I definitely won't recommend going without him. My second pick would be Antonio. You know, West Ham's fixtures, we've already spoken about how good they are. West Brom in 37, then Southampton in 38. And his numbers whenever he plays are incredible. It just last game week, he was top for XG and XGI, penalty area touches as well. And this season, he's been top among forwards for XGI per 90. So I would have Antonio as my second pick. My third pick would be Bamford. And then I think Wood, because I'm not sure about the next two fixtures for Chris Wood, Leeds and Liverpool. I think the time to get Chris Wood is in game week 38.
Zoff? By the way, Bakar, you need to get Chris Wood in Game Week 38. That can't not happen now after the moment we've had in the pod. That has to happen. Absolutely.
So I think it all depends on the timing when you're making your transfer, right? If you have to make a transfer this week, I think Calvert-Lewin would probably be at the top of my list. Not so much if you have to do it in 37. So if you have to make a transfer this week, I would think definitely prioritize Calvert-Lewin purely because that Sheffield United fixture could be anything. For Calvert-Lewin, it could be 13, 17, 20. Sky's the limit for him over there. Antonio, I'm still not very confident about how much joy he's going to get against Brighton. They have these physical, centre-backs, even with Dunk out. And like Bucket said, Brighton are a system-based team. I don't think the absence of Dunk is going to have that much of an effect on the defence.
West Brom and Southampton after that, so you have to
I'm looking at 30, for 37, 30. If you have to bring in somebody for Iheanacho this week, I would say it would be Calvert-Lewin with a focus on Antonio maybe for 37 and 38.
Bamford number three for you?
Bamford number three.
Because I think Bamford is a very, very interesting one because Rafinha is back and whenever Bamford has done well, it's been when Rafinha has been playing in the pitch. He's been on the pitch and Leeds are almost back to full strength at the moment. So I fancy a bit of Bamford again because he has a point to prove in the last three games for the Euros.
Definitely a good shot.
Yeah. And Leeds have nothing to play for, essentially. But did you see Bamford's interview post-match? He mentioned that, and you can imagine a Bielsa instilling this in his players, where he said that we're playing for the fans. And if we didn't put in our best performance, even though we don't have anything to play for on paper, we wouldn't be playing for Leeds. And that's the kind of team that couldn't take the foot off the table. I thought they were absolutely amazing. In terms of energy against Spurs as well. So for me, I think they've got a great run, fantasy fixtures. I'd go for Bamford number one, Antonio number two, and DCL number three. If the team, it depends on the state of the team, right? I mean, because you can't bet against DCL this week. But if you're looking at the three as a bracket whole, I'd have Bamford number one. Because I think Rafinha in that team means a lot. United.
I think if you're getting in Calvert-Lewin, let's say, and you can afford to bench him in 38, a lot of us have a strong front eight. If you can afford to bench Calvert-Lewin in 38, I think that's the way to go.
Somebody in the chat.
That would be an ideal strategy.
Somebody on this chat asked if all three of us are definitely selling Iheanacho. Yeah, I am. I think the club is going through a bad patch at the moment and the fixtures in the final two. I mean, yeah, he might get something against Spurs because that Spurs defense is not great at the moment. But I think there are better strikers with better fixtures.
We'll talk about that in the next section, about which players are we keeping and which players are we selling, because we have a lot of United, we have a lot of Leicester, we have some Chelsea. Yeah. Which players should we look to keep and which should we sell? I think that will influence your targets naturally as you look for exit strategies. So have we all done our top three strikers? Bakker, have you given yours?
Yeah, he's given
yours. Yes, I have. DCL, Antonio, Bamford.
Fair enough. Same page as me. Cool. Anything else to add to this section? Should we go to the players to drop?
Nope. Nothing. Shame that Wilson is out of the conversation, though, because he would have been an interesting differential.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's talk about Danny Ings being fit as well, by the way.
Who does he have? I haven't even looked
at it. He has Fulham, Leeds and West Ham. Not bad.
I wouldn't go there.
The other three options are superior in my books.
Just worth mentioning that. I don't think... Aguero, not worth looking at. We have a few questions in the chat about that.
I'm looking for the last string of hope to get Aguero in my team. But what you do if you're really keen on getting Aguero, A, wait for Pep's presser, see if anything gets mentioned, and look at Aguero's Instagram. On Aguero's Instagram, if he's putting a little fancy animation in his story 24 hours prior to the match, and I think we might get some information because it's a Friday kickoff, right? So, you could get some early news or something like that. It's going to be a last minute decision. At the moment, I don't think Aguero is in the conversation. But if he has a fancy Instagram story 24 hours prior to kickoff on Thursday night, it means he's definitely in the squad. Now, I don't see him not being in the squad anyway, so I don't know how much weight into that. Exactly. But
I would normally 38 is probably the time for Aguero.
38, yeah, if you can manage to somehow squeeze him in 38, I think this absolutely nailed to start that week.
All right.
I mean, Kane owners have a very good route to Aguero on 38.
Yep. Straight one-swap transfer. Cool. Let's just now quickly talk about the players which we are looking to drop. Let's start first with Leicester. Leicester defense. I know, Bakker, you have Castagne. What are your thoughts? Are you looking to keep him through this patch?
I can afford to bench him in 36 and 37. So I think I won't be too surprised if Leicester keep a clean sheet against Spurs in 38. So I think I might probably end up keeping him. But if you can sell him, then that makes sense as well. Because Leicester with those fixtures, I mean, the only fixture where I can see some returns are in 38 against Spurs. I'd fancy Nacho for a goal there probably as well, but. Other than that, for the next two game weeks, they're basically dead assets to us. So we can sell them if we have the luxury.
He's apparently rumored to be playing as a centre-back today. That's from the lineup leak which we have with Evans' injury. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Exactly.
So I don't think Leicester defence is much merit we probably want to sell. Let's talk about Ian Nacho. I think I don't expect him to get much joy against Chelsea, but against Spurs, probably in 38, he could get something. What do you think?
I think there are better fixtures there. I think I'd make a Ian Nacho transfer there.
I think it's quite easy in terms of Leicester, even in terms of Arsenal. Let's talk about Arsenal. Who do you, people might have Saka and holding. What do you think?
I think they're a good hold if you can afford to bench them. If I was to switch, I think the Leeds players is where you go.
Hmm. Palace away and Brighton. Decent fixtures. But I don't know. I guess it's...
I'd honestly back Leeds over Arsenal.
I was just thinking that, like, in just terms of Arsenal, I don't think they really, like, you know, fill me with confidence. Even in terms of clean sheet, I could see them conceding to both Palace and Brighton.
Exactly.
So, could probably move those on. I think the tricky one now, more than anyone, is Manchester United. Let's spend some time over here. In terms of, like, you know, let's talk about first a defense. In terms of, if you have Maguire, obviously he's an easy sell. It looks like he's out for the remainder of the season. Now, Luke Shaw, I think he starts game week 37. Not so confident about 38, LR?
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if he starts game 38. I think Telles is nailed on for 38 because the Europa League final is 3 days after game week 38. So I'd be surprised if Shaw starts.
Bakker, same school of thought?
I agree. I'm keeping Shaw because in 37, I think there's high potential for upside against Fulham. But I don't think he's going to start in 38.
Right, so I think all three of us on Shaw.
Yeah, yes. But I think this thing is very specific to your squad and your team, right?
Correct.
You need to see if you can afford to field three good defenders every week and then you jiggle around. The thing I'd be most confident about selling is the Leicester assets. I think that's where I'd focus my transfers towards first. And then when it comes to United, it's what remembering the 37th fixture is against the Fulham, who are already relegated at home. It's against the fans as well. So I think they'll be pumped up to put up a show before they move for the Europa League final. So I think the 37 fixture is really, really good. So it depends on who you're selling. But, you know, I think you need to play the odds in this case because they're not going to be playing in 36. Now, if you're getting in somebody like a Liverpool midfielder or you're getting in a Son or a Bale, you're getting two bites at the cherry instead of one with United. So you need to weigh that up. And it's a difficult decision, but I'd say, who knows, for a Son or somebody like that.
That's interesting because that was going to be our next question now. I think the mids is where we need to look at for United. Do you think Bruno will get benched against Wolves? I don't think so because, again, there's a rhythm argument also to be made, right? He could want to keep Bruno in rhythm.
Yeah, he could want to keep Bruno in rhythm. But see, now that is based on... it comes down to what you know versus what you don't know. Now, I do know that Son is going to be playing 36, 37 and 38. And that's the calculation you make in your head where you're getting guaranteed 270 minutes from somebody like a Son. So I think you make that switch. It's a difficult decision, but I do.
Right, because I've had Bruno now since game week 10. Like, just I'm just thinking, I can't even imagine looking at my team without Bruno in it. You just feel
like I think you need to pick and choose your battles in the last two or three game weeks. Now, if let's say Bruno plays tonight and he plays on Thursday, gets maybe a couple of goals and he's just two goals behind Harry Kane. I know Bruno. That's the kind of thing that's going to be playing on his mind in terms of the golden boot as well.
Correct.
So if he comes closer, then you hold on because he's going to be doing everything he can. He's going to be telling Ole, play me in 38. I want that golden boot. I mean, it could even be the case where Bruno plays in 38 and maybe gets 60 minutes. You know, that's not out of the question.
Thinking. So because especially he's playing his Portugal teammates in Wolves.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule that out.
What about Greenwood?
Greenwood is a tough one because he's not exactly nailed for 37. I think Cavani plays in 37 in front of the fans because he's not had that experience. Previously, just signed the contract as well. So Ole will want him to play against Fulham at home. So I don't know how nailed he is in 37.
So what I was thinking for 37, he's not going to play Pogba on the wings, is he? He's going to play Pogba in midfield. He's not going to play Fred and McTominay in midfield. So you'd probably have Rashford on the left, Greenwood on the right. And like you said, it's about the crowd fans. Now Greenwood, I know he had a bit of a purple patch end of last season. This is sort of his breakthrough season as well. So in terms of giving chance in front of the fans, Greenwood also the same thing applies as Cavani. Give the fans some joy.
Yeah.
And he takes up a lot less of your budget. And I think, like you said, if he's not going to start the Europa League final, then he might start 38 as well.
Correct. And he's knocking on the door to start that Europa
League final. Precisely, which is good for us as FPL managers because he has a motivation to do well in 38. So I'm actually more inclined to keep Greenwood than Bruno.
Yeah.
I'm actually selling Bruno's off?
I don't know yet. I have so many options and I'm just waiting to see how the teams line up on Thursday and stuff to decide and who I want to get. If I have to get Son and Bale, then both Bruno and Greenwood would have to make way. If I have to do Rafinha, then just Greenwood. So it all depends on which direction I go.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But if push comes to shove, because I think I was actually reading Raghav Oli's tweet where most of the people have just 9 players in 36. So you're betting against people who haven't planned too much as well. There's going to be a lot of hits flying around, but I think there's a chance worth taking if you're bringing in players from these three. Maybe not West Ham so much because Brighton, like Bakker mentioned at the top of the board, isn't a completely easy opposition. Okay. But if you're bringing in a Leeds attacker, if you're bringing in a Liverpool attacker, if you're bringing in a Spurs attacker, I think you take the tough decision and sell because there's just more bites at the cherry. That's all.
I'm just having a quick look at 37 in terms of captaincy. Liverpool have Burnley away.
Too many captaincy options. You've got Liverpool, you've got United, and you've got Kane.
Spurs have who?
Villa
at home, yeah. So that can pretty much be a decent. You don't really need Bruno for captaincy per se against.
You don't need Bruno for captaincy. Kane is actually on paper the best option. Salah is also a great option in 37. So captaincy is covered.
That's something to keep in mind as well, I think, in terms of captaincy. So what are your guys' plans with regards to the United mids?
I don't have a difficult decision to make, right? That's the reason why I'm free hitting in 36 as well. And I sold all my Spurs players so I could free hit them back in 36 and I can carry my United players into 37. So that was the thing. So I don't have that difficult decision.
Right, on only 38, you might be overloaded a little bit with United players.
And that's when it's an easy decision because there are too many options with good fixtures in 38.
Correct.
So
correct.
I'm not too worried about.
You don't have Greenwood, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't have Greenwood. I have Shaw and Bruno. I'm looking to keep Shaw. I'm 50-50 on Bruno. I'm not exactly sure because I think that he is one of the best captaincy options in 37. And I think keeping hold of Bruno and captaining him in 37 as a differential isn't going to be a bad strategy either. So I'm torn between that. But the upside of getting particularly a City mid is what is tempting me to make the move.
Would you play that City mid in 37 then? Or would you look to bench that City mid?
No, I'd play him. But I mean, one thing I've noticed with Pep is that he isn't using too many of his substitutes. So I'm not exactly, I don't think if Mahrez or Foden, particularly Mahrez, if he gets benched in 37, he's at risk of a bench appearance because Pep isn't using too many of his substitutes these days.
That's interesting because, yeah, Mahrez is somebody who could come on from the bench. So it's something to command. But yeah, that's a decent shot. Mahrez is on my radar as well.
Yeah.
I also don't want to sit on the fence with my opinion. I think you guys need to be aggressive in the final three game weeks of the season, especially like you mentioned, Zoff, right? There are alternate captaincy options in 37 as well. I think when it comes to Liverpool and Spurs, there are halts there for the taking. Just go with more bites of the cherry, that's all.
It's a fair shout out completely. Anything else?
Yeah. Zoff, I was just checking that over the last four times that Mahrez has been benched, he hasn't come on even a single time in the league.
That's interesting. I hadn't clocked that because Mahrez hasn't been on my radar as an FPL option at all this year. So I haven't really looked at that.
I'll just be back in a second, guys.
Sure, go for it.
No worries. Well, Foden has had plenty of bench appearances from the bench in recent times. I don't think Mahrez is as...
Did you see the team of the year that both these guys posted, Carragher and Neville?
No, I haven't. I didn't read it, but I know there's been quite a lot of talk going on about it.
What do you think
of
Foden's inclusion? I mean, and keep in mind that this team of the year has to be based on Premier League performances, not on Champions League performances. Would you talk?
I think it's a case of recency bias as well, Zoff.
Right? I totally agree. That was exactly what I thought.
Yes, I think it's a case of recency bias. I don't think I'd have Foden in my Premier League 11 of the season.
Because neither of them had Salah and only one of them had Son.
Salah is almost the top scorer in the league, man. Like,
it's just because he doesn't get 30 goals. They're like, oh, he doesn't deserve to be in the team. But
yeah, I mean, if it was his first season, I'm sure they would have had him.
Exactly, absolutely right.
They have different parameters for different people.
Benchmarks.
I think
and English players always get a little bit of a favoritism in these things.
Exactly. I think Rashford was in Neville's team as well.
Yeah, Rashford was in Neville's team.
Yeah, I don't think I would have Rashford either.
Same it was here. A joke, putting Rashford. I mean, I don't even know if he was in United's best team on the right-hand side. He's not had a good season for us.
Right. So the slide we have up now, we just wanted to mention a shout-out to FPL Zoo. He mentioned on Twitter that we could see a lot of goals for the teams that are going to have fans in. So for those of you not knowing, the UK government has allowed up to 10,000 fans for each team in the game week 37 and 38 fixture. It won't be 10,000 across the board. It will depend on the capacity of the stadium. But I think this is only the second or third time, right? There was this period in November, December when there were fans and we saw a big upturn in goals at that point. Yep.
I think those guys playing at home will definitely want to put on a show. So I think these are just halls that you want to, you know, register in your head and plan your transfers around.
Yeah, so somebody like DCL, for example, now has two consecutive home games. I think you have Sheffield and then you have the game against Wolves. That's why we are quite fond of him as an option.
Yeah, and you know that home record goes out of the window because it's going to be Wolves in front of the fans. So, yeah.
Correct. So, anything else you guys want to add? Should we move on?
We can move on. I think we're done.
But let's just quickly do captaincy for this week.
Captaincy, guys, look at my three-hit team. I have some questions.
We'll get to that. That's why I wanted to get captaincy out of the way really quick.
All right. It's a tough one this week because I think there are many good options. Kane versus Wolves is an option. If you're looking for a differential, Bale versus Wolves is an option. The City guys, Mahrez is an option. And the Liverpool guys against West Brom.
Or even Calvert-Lewin against Sheffield United.
Yeah, Calvert-Lewin against Sheffield United at home is an option as well. I think the best option on paper is maybe Kane, who's chasing a golden boot. I think he's a good option with a really good plot as well. But I really like this feeling of going for a Riyad Mahrez against a Newcastle at home with the party and looking to wrap up the title. I think I wouldn't be surprised if City put four or five goals against Newcastle. I think that game in particular has the highest ceiling.
Correct.
So, but I'm on Salah.
I'm on Salah as well. I was just about to say.
Yeah, I think West Brom will be deflated after going down, and Liverpool's attacking numbers are good. And like, I just hope for a fact, you know, that they start just converting many of their chances, because I still think, despite, you know, Salah having so many goals this season, and he's been doing well in FPL terms of late as well, I still think he's underperforming. There is a big hole in him, I think.
Correct. I totally agree. I think at this stage, incentive plays a big part. So, and Liverpool definitely have all the incentive to go first. So what is the gap between matches? I think Liverpool play Thursday, Sunday. Does that worry you with regard to Salah?
A little bit. There's some conversation about them being rotated. I don't buy it at all. I think Salah is good to play.
I think it's far too important a game now, given the fact that Liverpool are in with a realistic chance of a top four finish.
Yep. Salah's a great shot. Absolutely great shot against West Brom as well.
Right. I think, yeah. So I think the fixtures you have to target probably are the Man City one, the Spurs, Liverpool and Everton fixtures.
Yep.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Cool. Ella, let's just jump into your team, your free hit team. We have the draft up here. Could you share it?
Yeah, so I'll just read out the team for the benefit of the listeners as well, and I'll let you know what positions and what players I'm contemplating. So in defense, at the moment, I have Pickford as my starting keeper. In defense, I have got John Stones. He's back from suspension, and he didn't play the previous game, so I think he's nailed on to play against Newcastle. And, you know, we've mentioned it many times in the pod as well. Newcastle, little suspect on set pieces as well. So, wouldn't be surprised to see Stones getting a goal. He's 5.1 only, so a reasonably cheap option as well. Dallas is in there. I might want to change Dallas, but I want to put him in because I never owned Dallas this season. And he's been the best FPL defender this season. So, it's just having a bit of fun against Burnley. But I don't see Leeds necessarily keeping a clean sheet. So, that's something that's playing on my mind. I want to try getting Dean in this defense.
Yeah, I would get Dean in there for Dallas.
Yeah, it's just having a bit of fun though, right? Like, because I haven't owned Dallas all season, and this is my...
I think the only time I owned him was in the free hit. I think, Bakker, did you own Dallas any other time besides
yes,
that?
No, I owned him on the free hit, but not at any other point
same,
in the season.
Same.
Yeah. I think that's a huge fail for the pod in general.
Yeah, I think primarily, like, you know, because we keep going back to the Cocker principle, right? If the defense isn't looking like keeping clean sheets, don't get defenders purely for attacking threat. But Leeds,
it's a mistake I made at the start of the season. I mean, I just didn't expect Dallas to play in midfield, and I was very high on getting a Leeds defender. I just got Ayling at the start,
yeah,
so I just got it wrong at that
Ayling.
Point.
And I think a lot of us were burnt with Ayling. So I think that sort of stuck with
us
a little bit.
If we knew that Dallas was going to play in midfield, then I don't think that would have happened.
I think second half, he played in midfield a lot more than he did in the first half.
Yeah.
And anyway.
But LR, I'd highly recommend Dean on free hit.
He's on my mind. He's not in there only because of cash.
He'd be my number one defender to own this week. You know, he's going to be on set pieces.
Yeah, but
I think Everton will most probably keep a clean sheet. And one thing I've noticed with defenders, you know, with Shaw, Trent, and the likes who create a lot of chances, is that whenever they keep a clean sheet, it's basically going to be a bonus of two or three. So he's a very, very explosive option. Even if he doesn't get an attacking return, he's going to get you a bonus with a clean sheet. So
like,
I won't go without Dinia, for sure.
That if considering the attacking setup that
I
have...
About to say, you have to tell him who to downgrade then. Let's get
exactly.
To that.
It probably means a Trent downgrade. To get Dean at the moment, if I'm not compromising an attack. So I'll walk you guys through the options.
Yeah, yeah.
So in defense, the guy that I'm really looking at getting is, like you mentioned, Dean. He's the one I want in my defense. And I'm if there's a little big hitter upgrade that I do in my midfield as well, I don't even mind upgrading a Pickford to maybe an Edison or somebody who's more nailed on for clean sheet. But I think Pickford is good for a clean sheet because, I mean, Sheffield United had zero shots against Crystal Palace. So I think he's cheap. I think if you're looking for cheap keepers, Pickford and Nestle are the two ones that you're looking at. I just prefer Pickford because Burnley do have goals in them.
Agreed.
Now, in midfield, I was very impressed with Mane's performance. So the midfield, I'm going with a 3-5-2 the midfield I have at the moment. I've got Mane and Salah. Salah is absolutely nailed in my draft. He's going nowhere. I've got Foden and Mahrez. We spoke about the top of the pod. You know, I want KDB in there, but looking at the numbers, there's not much of a difference in terms of what the 6 million and 8 million Mahrez and Foden are offering in compared to the 11 million De Bruyne. So that's something I'm looking at. And as my fifth midfielder, I have Rafinha. Now, the advantage with Rafinha is that he's only 5.3 million. I think he might be more expensive. I held him through this entire phase. And if I want to upgrade, it requires a downgrade because the other guys that are competing for that seventh attacker position on my free hit draft are Antonio, Lingard, and Bamford. So I think Rafinha, if he is looking nailed, I don't think need to overthink it. But I have a strong feeling about Bamford in this game.
LR, why don't you downgrade Rafinha to a very cheap midfielder and change your formation to 4-4-2?
I always prefer going for the attack. Anyway, I'll talk you through my permutation combinations. There are some options as well. Because Bale is in my team.
I'll go for Dini over Rafinha. If you can afford
Andy is in the chat. You see that?
I saw that.
No compromise. Sure, good team value. That's a good one.
If you didn't need to beep team value at the beginning of the season.
I hear you, Andy. I hear you. But this was only for this season. I'm going to be focusing on team value next season. It was just the COVID season. People need to realize that. Up front, I have DCL and Kane. I think they're non-negotiable. Now, I'll tell you what my permutations and combinations are because I've sort of laid that out. I want to try upgrading Rafinha to Bamford because I like Bamford as a pick on this free hit against that Burnley team. But then I need to downgrade Trent to Dean to do that. I don't necessarily mind that because I don't know if Liverpool are nailed on to keep a clean sheet. You know what I'm saying? So it's a fair compromise if I'm thinking about it in my head. And then the other big move that I can potentially think about it, Diego Jota is especially rested against Man United. And if I think he's got a good chance of playing in game week 37, is that I can downgrade Mane to Jota and I can upgrade Rafinha to Bale. And with that, I can even upgrade my Dallas to Dean. So even that is a...
I think that is probably likely to happen. I don't think Jota is going to play against United. I think this would improve your team significantly as well.
That is there. But the thing is that Mane is my strongest gut feel. I saw his performance against Southampton and I thought he was really, really good.
I mean, he's a biggest differential also. Like in terms of differentials, who you have here and ultimately free hit, you have to go for differentials at this stage. So Mane, Mane, Foden, Mahrez are really your differentials because Rafinha, a lot of people have held on to him to a certain extent. And Rafinha, though, keep in mind, while he is a great asset, he's only had one double-digit haul the entire season.
Yeah, but that's we've spoken about it before as well. It's because of the finishing capability of his teammates, which hasn't changed, actually. So, the advantage of Rafinha is 5.3. So, at the moment, what do you guys think? Bakker would have gone with the Mane downgrade option.
I think that Mane downgrade option is excellent because, like, you know, I think a Spurs mid has as much potential as Mane this week, and you're getting him like, you know, at around 2.5 million. Like,
less. I think Jota getting rested will make the decision easier for you. I'm very sure that's going to happen.
Fair enough. You know, what I also like about it is it's going to be very difficult for the non free hit guys to jump on a Mane, Foden, and a Mahrez. So if two out of the three of them are falling, I'm trying to get 30 points, 20 points that none of the others are going to get. So I quite like that as a factor as well, because it's not easy for people to jump on this, on these players.
Correct.
Yeah. So yeah, but yeah, I mean, it does give me an additional big hitter, but I don't think Bamford is a bad option at 6 million odd for this week against a Burnley defense that's been leaking goals.
Definitely.
Yes. So yeah, that's where I am at the moment. I still haven't. I just want to say because if I post my team on Friday with Aguero in there, if I get a little bit of a sniff also that, you know, he's going to be starting or something like that, he will be in there. This draft will look completely different. But at the moment, I'm not considering.
You're quite wedded to the double city mids.
Yes, because I think they offer so much value at 14 million. Getting in
that
on that city.
How many times have they scored? Like, keep them a little bit of a. They've not been as attacking and as free flowing a team as we have usually seen. At 2-0, they control games. So just keep that in mind.
Who do you go for, though? I mean, who's offering as much value as a 6 million Foden and 8 million Mahrez?
I mean, a 9.1 million. Again, it all depends whether you can get the cash. Again,
and also, it's the party on Friday.
It depends if like United lose against Liverpool or Leicester, then City have clinched already, right?
Yeah, and it's a party, right? It's the day they get handed over the trophy. So they're going to celebrate.
They get handed the trophy in the last home game.
Yeah, irrespective, they want to put on a show, right? They won the trophy. There's nothing to worry about.
At the same time, you still want to back teams with incentive, right? I get what you're saying. But I think maybe, like, you know, you're getting one of them makes sense, but maybe you're going too hard on a team that might not have anything to play for.
Who do you go for instead? Who do you go for instead? At 6 million instead of Foden, who do you go for? 8 million, who do you go instead of Mahrez? There aren't better options.
I wouldn't spend 11 million, 11.7 on Mane. That's what I would lean towards. Like, you know, I would get the Bale money, maybe double up on like a Bale and Son over here. Yeah. Something like that.
See, that's the optimal play.
I agree.
That's the optimal play in terms of getting the most out of your team, right? But then I don't want to not back my
test. Right. If you feel this is something to think about, I think from a sense of perspective, just feel you're going too hard on City. That's my take on it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Cool.
Right. Bucker, your team?
Of your team?
Bucker, my team? Your first.
Okay.
Just outside of this player pool, anybody else you'd consider? Richarlison?
I mean, we've covered most of them. Maybe I don't really fancy a double up on Everton. I guess if you want to get rid of, if you're asking who you could go for, maybe you could swap them around. Maybe, like, you know, change your formation up. But I don't really, I'm not that big on Richarlison.
I had a couple of Villa fans telling me that take an outside punt on Grealish. They fancy him to start. But I just think the other options are too good. Yeah.
That's probably Adam Hopcroft.
It wasn't Adam. It was Bakari Lasagna on Twitter, one of the old guys from Scotland.
Right. Bakari, your team.
So in goal, I have Martinez this week. I've double Villa defense Konsa as well. Trent, Dini, Rafinha, Jota, Salah, captain Pereira, Calvert-Lewin, Watkins. So I have basically 10 this week and a free transfer to make. I have 3 million in the bank. So the two moves I'm considering are either selling Bruno for Bale or Mahrez, or the other alternate move is to sell Iheanacho for Antonio or Bamford. So these are the moves I'm considering. I don't think I need a hit because I can field 10.
Which way are you leaning with that move?
It's actually tough. I'm literally on the fence.
But even do Castagne to Dallas, you know.
I think Burnley will score this week. I thought about that. I think Burnley will score this week.
Bakar, prioritize Kane.
How the hell do I get Kane in my team?
Downgrade Fernandes. You have to take a hit then.
You have to take a hit. Prioritize Kane. I don't want you to back against a golden boot chasing Kane.
Fernandes out.
What you can do, downgrade Fernandes to someone that leaves you cash to get Kane in for a free. The
Lingard.
Week.
I mean, but Bucker doesn't fancy
him. I can get Foden actually.
You can get Foden and then upgrade Iheanacho to Kane, but get Kane. That's my non on the fence.
At least you should be able to get him for the 37 for the home game, right? At least
why? I mean, this picture this week is also good.
I'm just saying, worst case, if he doesn't want to take a hit, I can understand that to a certain extent that I don't want to take a hit this week.
No, I mean, I'm open to taking a hit. I mean, I have Pereira this week. But like Pereira can do well against Liverpool. I mean, he's done well against the top teams this season.
Pereira's playing for a transfer now, right?
Yeah. But it's about, I mean, what's Pereira's ceiling? A goal? What's Kane's ceiling? The match ball? I think I remember this because Zoff, remember that one season where you didn't get Kane, and then Bakker was the one constantly telling you get Kane towards the end of the season. So Bakker, get Kane for the last 3 games. That's my advice to you.
All right. Let me see if I can actually afford it. Fernandes out for Foden, and Kane in for Iheanacho.
You can. Right? You can just do a simple math here. 3 million in the bank. You can.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, it's easy.
How much more do you have?
3 million.
No. As in, if you do that move, how much more money do you have?
8.2.
8.2. Can you afford Mahrez? You can afford Mahrez. Mahrez is 8.2 exact, I think.
Eight. Mahrez is 8.
That's a shout.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, Mahrez is it. I can get Mahrez instead of Foden, actually. Yeah, that would be better because I like Mahrez more because he's not as susceptible to a bench appearance.
And penalties. I like that move a lot. Yep. Two very high upside players that you're getting in.
You'll probably bench Pereira, I guess, then.
Yeah,
Pereira or Rafinha. Yeah, Pereira definitely, I guess.
Definitely
Pereira. But yeah. Rogan is off your team.
Moving on.
I really like the moves, by the way. Thanks for the suggestion, Ella.
Yes.
My team is in a bit of a state this week. Martinez in goal. Sice, who got benched the last game out of nowhere. White, TA, Jota, Lingard, Salah, Kane, and Brewster. So effectively, I have Saiss who might not play, Greenwood and Bruno who definitely won't play, Brewster who might as well not play, and then Shaw, Rudiger, and Iheanacho who won't play. So, but fortunately, I have two free transfers and 2.6 in the bank. So there are many ways I could go with this. Initial thought was do something like Greenwood to Rafinha and Iheanacho, Brewster to DCL and Antonio. That sort of sets me up well for the run-in.
And you get to keep Fernandes as well.
I get to keep Fernandes for 37, which I like. And I can, that way I can even afford to bench Fernandes or DCL, who I have to in 38. Or the other option would be getting rid of, like, you know, Greenwood and getting something like Mahrez and Bale in for Greenwood and Fernandes and DCL in for Brewster with cash left over for Iheanacho to Antonio the week after.
Both good shots.
Yeah.
Both good shots. I reckon you will go with the... I have a feeling you're going to go in with DCL and Rafinha. Right? Because you like Bruno, you like the safety blanket of Bruno.
I like safety blanket of Bruno. And I also have the option of not taking a hit and fielding Brewster. I could go Greenwood to Sun and this one, Iheanacho to Antonio and ignore DCL. But I'm a bit scared of what DCL can do this week.
Fair enough. Sure.
Cool. Should we move on to the Q&A?
Yes, we can move on to the Q&A. Before we move on to the Q&A, we have 590 in the stream right now. Thanks for watching, guys. Hit that like button. Get us to 200 likes and hit on the subscribe button because it really, really helps us. So yeah, make sure you do that and we can move to the Q&A, guys. Hit us with your questions. Many times you bet against Kane this season, Bakker. I think around your free hit... Also, you were without Kane and thinking about ways to get him. Have you not had Kane?
It's been incredible. Every single time I've had Son, Kane Halls. Every single time I've had Kane, Son Halls. It's been an absolute joke, honestly.
Anyone who sold Kane got a bit lucky, I thought, this week. Offside call was quite marginal. I thought it really shouldn't have been called offside. Then he hit
my congratulations in advance to every Son owner out there because I'm not considering him this week.
Also, big shout out to Weather. He was also a patron as well as a regular watcher of the pod. He's in the top 1,000 this season. So that was just
well done.
Good job by you. Azov, he's asking an important question. Chelsea defense, stick or twist?
I think you can might as well stick it, especially if you have Rudiger. I see possible clean sheets. I think against a Leicester game, I'm pretty confident of a clean sheet. Against Villa also, there's a good shout. Although Villa, that's the last game with fans, so we should see a strong lineup. I think
you still have everything. You still have everything to play for. Christensen's injured, and how long is his injury?
We don't know yet. It could be either short term or it could be like another couple of 2-3 weeks to rule him out. But I don't think he'll be risked now in the remaining league fixtures.
Shahid is asking about Kane, Son, and Bale and their prospects for a free hit. We talked about it at length. But where I stand, Shahid, is I trust the United, Liverpool and the City attack more than I trust the Spurs attack. Oh, a little bit of a hit in this. I just want to add that. What else do we have? Are you guys looking at the questions?
Bakar, are you okay to continue? Do you have to drop out? You have to. Must be hungry.
I have 5 minutes. 10 minutes max.
Cool.
Would you sell Jota to free up a Liverpool spot? No. I think you optimize your transfers elsewhere. What about you guys?
I would keep.
Especially, what was the question again?
Keep or sell Jota?
Keep. I mean, I think he's gonna get rested against United. He's gonna play the West Brom game. I think he's good to keep. And besides, I think Klopp will probably fancy playing his front four in the easier game, anyways.
Brass is asking about Siggy or Richarlison on a free hit. What do you guys think?
Richarlison, maybe. Siggy, I don't think is a good FPL option. Richarlison, I could still get on board.
I trust Richarlison more, but the thing with Richarlison is he's like Zaha, you know. They can score goals, but they need more than one involvement for bonus because of the high number of dispossessions.
Yeah, and I just think there are better options there for the taking in terms of the fixtures to target.
Correct.
I mean, Everton's Sheffield United is a great fixture to target, but I just think there are better reliable options. Octavian CEO is asking Greenwood or Mount out for Mahrez or Bale. Who would you sell?
Mount probably plays the last two fixtures. Greenwood probably does too. That's a tough one, actually. Who would you sell rather of Greenwood or Mount?
I'd sell Mount. I think that Actually, but he's it's Greenwood is not nailed.
Mount will definitely play the last two games.
Greenwood, like you mentioned, Pogba is now going to be playing on that left-hand side against Fulham at home. And that's a great fixture for Greenwood. Who are Chelsea playing in the last two?
Leicester and Aston Villa. The thing is, we don't score that many goals. That's the problem, right? You guys are scoring a lot. I would sell Mount.
Yeah, write the purple patch with Greenwood, I reckon. Bakar?
Yeah, I agree. I'd sell Mount as well. Greenwood against Fulham could be big.
Somebody's asking thoughts on Torres for a free hit. I don't think
He's going to play. I think he's going to play a starting team.
He's not going to start this week.
I looked at the City forums as well. Everybody has Mahrez starting. So I wouldn't bet on Torres in a free hit. Bakar, you drop out you when you need to. We completely understand. Okay.
Yeah. There's someone asking me sell Rashford. I'd sell him. At that price, I think it makes sense to sell. And the fact that he's not a captaincy option, easy sell.
Yeah. Wildcard essentials. I mean, we spoke about the players to target at the top of the poll.
We have three in each positions and budget mid, so we pretty much sort everything out there.
Who is better for the last two game weeks of the season, Greenwood or Son?
Son.
Son, definitely.
Yeah, Son, more reliable. You're assured you have 180 minutes at least.
If someone who's asking Son to Mahrez is a good move, I don't think so. I think if you have Son, you keep him.
There's no reason to sell Sonny. Why should you sell Sonny?
Agreed. On a free hit, would you sell Dean for Coleman to be able to afford Bale? Yeah, I wouldn't mind it.
I think Dean has far more potential than Coleman.
And I think you have to keep in mind, Everton play what, Thursday, Sunday now, right? Coleman has played just now on this Sunday. I'm not sure Coleman can play three games a week.
Yeah, but it's about prioritizing Bale or Dini. That's
correct. But I'm just saying, so I think you might as well go for Godfrey in that sense.
Yeah, fair enough. Because that Everton clean sheet looks very, very likely on paper, right? I'd be very surprised if
it on 36, at least 37, I'm not so sure.
No, he's talking essentially only about
on the free hit. Yeah, free hit, it's fine.
Yeah. Best keeper for Mendy, Foster, owners other than Messier.
We already spoke about this, didn't we? I think probably Edison. He probably starts the remaining three fixtures.
Prashant just sent us a super chat without asking any question. Thank you. Prashant. Bamford and Lingard or Antonio and Rafinha?
Interesting that. Antonio and Rafinha.
Yeah, I agree.
Tough one. Yeah, I'd probably agree. Is Antonio on pens?
We don't know yet for sure because ultimately...
Yeah. Lingard took the last one. The argument that you're making is Bamford is definitely on pens, right? Correct. Leeds United.
But I think they're both more... I think I trust Rafinha for points more than Bamford and I trust Antonio for points more than Lingard.
Fair enough. I'd agree with you.
Krish is asking thoughts on Bruno to Mahrez this week and Mahrez to Greenwood after that.
I won't sell Mahrez if you buy him this week. I'd keep him till 38.
Right. And I mean, something could always happen in terms of injuries and all that stuff. Whoever you get in, ideally at this stage, you shouldn't have a plan to get him out.
Who do you remove from Jota, Greenwood, Lingard for the run?
Jota, Greenwood, Lingard.
Probably Greenwood. I'd hold Lingard because he's playing three games. You play Lingard this week.
Correct. I don't think Lingard should consider selling at all. Probably between the other two.
I think Bakar disagrees.
Sure.
I think that's it. I think even potential questions, we've covered everything.
Yeah, we had most of them are just repetitions.
Antonio or Wood, I think Antonio.
Yeah, great.
Disappointing answer.
Yeah. All right, I think we can end the stream now because all the questions, I think everything we've covered depth.
There's one someone has asked me, let me address this. Would you go for Calvert-Lewin and Dallas or Antonio and Ayling for the season run? Calvert-Lewin and Dallas.
Definitely. Ayling, you're pretty much banking on clean sheets, right?
Exactly.
All right, that's it. That's it for this week. We don't know when we're going to be podding. Probably Monday. Prashant actually sent another super chat. Let's answer his question. Greenwood and Nacho to Antonio and Son or DCL and Bale. DCL and Bale for me.
I agree.
DCL and Bale.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. I think we should end the stream now because I the questions are repetitive. That's why.
Right. Fair enough.
We've covered everything. Thank you guys for being with us and thank you for listening. And we'll probably see you Monday night because there's a Tuesday deadline, so we'll probably see you then. That's it from us. Make sure you're hitting the like and subscribe button and thank you for being with us throughout the season. Any last words, boys?
Nothing much. Thank you for joining us. See you guys next week.
Thank you for watching, guys. Thank you for the support. Good luck.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.